Good morning. How was everybody today? Oh, God sure blessed us, I'll tell you that. It's beautiful outside. I hope it stays like this. I want to read you a letter I was given last week, and it made a perfect sense with the message God gave us today. So, Satan called a worldwide convention. In his opening address to the demons, he said, "We can't keep the Christians from going to church. We can't keep them from reading their Bibles and knowing the truth. We can't even keep them from their conservative values. But we can do something else. We can keep them from forming an intimate, abiding relationship experience in Jesus Christ. If they gain that connection with Jesus, our power over them is broken. So this is what I want you to do, demons. Distract them from gaining a hold of their Savior and maintaining that vital connection throughout their day. Let them go to church. Let them have their conservative lifestyles, but steal their time so they can't gain the experience in Jesus Christ." "How shall we do this?" shouted the demons. "Keep them busy in their non-essentials of life and invent schemes to occupy their minds. Tempt them to spend, spend, then borrow, borrow, and borrow, and borrow. Persuade their wives and the husbands to work 6 and 7 days a week, 10, 12 hours a day, 40, 50, 60 hours a week. Keep them from spending time with their children. As for their family fragments, soon their homes will offer no escape from the pressures of work. Overstimulate their minds so they cannot hear that still small voice. Entice them to play video games, their DVD players, their cassette players, and whenever they drive, have them play music that has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. This will jam their minds and break that union with Jesus Christ. Fill their tables with magazines and newspapers and pound their minds 24 hours a day with stuff that doesn't come close to Jesus Christ. Flood their mailboxes with junk mail, sweepstakes, mail order catalogs, and every kind of newsletters and promotions, and offer free products, services, and false hopes. Even in their recreation, let them be excessive. Have them return from their recreation exhausted, disquieted, unprepared for the coming week. Don't let them get out in nature and reflect on God's wonders. Send them to amusement parks, sporting events, concerts, and movies. And when they meet for spiritual fellowship, involve them in gossip, small talk, so that they leave their troubled, conscious, unsettled emotions. Let them be involved in soul winning, but crowd their lives with so many good causes that they have no time to seek the power of Jesus Christ. So when they do talk to people, there's no power from Jesus to save those lost souls. In their strength, sacrifice their health, sacrifice their family for the good of the cause, but not for Jesus. It was quite a convention in the end, and the evil demons went eagerly to their assignments, causing Christians everywhere to get busy, busy, and rush here and there. And the devil shouted one last thing as they left. If we can get a hold of their leaders, their pastors, their deacons and elders, their church will fall. Can you bow your heads, please? I'd like to pray before the message. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you've done. And I ask, Lord, that you please give this message. I ask that it fills the hearts of every person here. And I ask, Lord, that we not only hear, but we come together in unity, Lord, and abide by your word. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I have a question for those here today that are the born-again Christians that are here today, that are members of the church here, and the ones that aren't saved, I'll get back to you later. But the question is, we appointed Darren Mansfield as our pastor. The question is Darren Mansfield your pastor? Is he the person from whom God has appointed to be the ambassador between him and you? Is he the one that receives revelations from God and he relays them on to you and me? Is he the one that we are here for in this church to follow? If not, then this is not the church for you. Half of all preachers today, evangelistical preachers today, they leave the ministry because of all the pressures that's on their shoulders. 70% fight depression, and 90% can't cope with all the challenges that come with the job. Darren, I guess we should have told you this earlier before you became pastor, but let's see what we as a church can do to help Darren get through this. Can you turn your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Let's try to come up with some things that we can do to help our pastor get through and do the job that God called him to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 to 13. Now I plead with you, brothers, by the name of your Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brothers, that by those of Chloe's household and those of contention, there's contention among you. Now I say this, that each of you say, I am Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? But you see, God calls us all to come here to church in unity and one accord with no division. Because see, Satan will cause a division in the church. And Satan wants nothing more than to divide the church up. We learned when we was in the military that when you go into battle, you want to take out the highest ranking soldier. If you take out that general, the army will fall because they have nobody to follow. And Satan wants to take out the leaders of the church, especially Darren. Now, do you believe as members of the of Christ and the members of this body, do you believe that you are here to support Darren? See, a lot of the members don't think so. A lot of members think that they come to church, they listen about God, they put a few dollars in the offering plate, and then they go about their business for the rest of the week. But they don't think about supporting the pastor. And if we're not here to support the pastor, what are we here for? Because we said he's our pastor. We said that he's the go-between, that God gives him the revelation, that God appointed him for us to follow. Here's the second thing we can do to help him out. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, please. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much more as we see the day approaching. We're supposed to come together and be faithful to God, be faithful to Darren, and be faithful to each other, and together praise the Lord God. One of the things that come to my attention is some people think that when we come to church and we sing, that it's just words, that we're just singing. But remember, the Bible says that when you sing, you lift up your voice and you praise God. When you do that, you show the pastor also that you're here to praise the same God that he's following. You lift up your voice, and the words you say have to be true from your heart. And sometimes we mumble the words, or sometimes we don't say them at all. But that is a way to praise God, is it not? Some people estimate the value of being present in this church. I've heard twice today from a couple of loved ones of mine that broke my heart. They said, well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You don't have to go to church. Well, I just read what the Bible says you do. It says that you come together in one accord. No division. You come together and you lift up and you praise God. And you back the leaders of the church. A simple smile from one of you guys may answer a prayer. Have you ever come to church and had a bad day and someone said something that just turned your whole day around? Or answered one of your prayers? Or someone that hasn't been here for a while, they finally show up and it just makes you smile and it makes your day? That's what we're called to do. Come together in one accord. Not the worries of the world, not what Satan wants to throw on top of us, not the internet and the gossip. Some people go to church to do that. They go to church to see friends and gossip and to see what happened to, you know. We come to church to be kind and love each other, but we come to church mainly to praise God, to learn how we can serve Him better, and to serve our leaders. Most of us don't think about this, but a pastor, Darren, spends many hours. Trust me, to come up here and get a message, to do what I'm doing now is easy. But to be in prayer all week long, it's hours. It's not just a couple hours. You read your Bible, get a few verses, and write it down, and then go preach. That's not what it's about. But Darren spends weeks preparing messages, hours preparing messages, that God called him to prepare to come up here. And we should respect that. To show your pastor that you care and that you support him not only means coming Sunday morning, but also Sunday night and Wednesday night. How many of us come on Sunday night or Wednesday night and we learn more than we did Sunday morning? I mean, because there's a lot. You can learn a lot coming to Sunday school. You can learn a lot coming Wednesday night, and you can participate and give your voice. And that shows a pastor that you care. There's nothing more depressing to a pastor than when you show up on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night, and there's four or five people. Where's the unity of the church? You know what I'm saying? And I know a lot of us have different things that we have going on in our life. Trust me. We do. But if you had something very special, say there was a grandchild or a son that had a ball game or that had a band or something he had going on, and you knew that was going to happen, would you not shut off everything in your life to make sure that you showed up for that meeting? Or for that, you would you not? Sunday night and Wednesday night, the same thing. When we come together and we say, Lord, I will not only serve you, but I will come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and do all I can to support my pastor, to praise my Lord, and to show him that I care. I know what kind of... I'm not here to degrade you, because trust me, when God gave me this message, for the last 3 weeks, I've been wanting to give a message on Esther. And I studied, and I studied, and I studied. And the last 3 weeks, he says, nope, this is what I want you to give. And trust me, when a pastor comes up here and he has to step on toes, he doesn't want to. But if God calls it to happen, that means he loves you enough to tell you there's some things that we all need to work on, okay, as a church. Can you turn your Bibles, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17? This is another way we can show our pastor that we appreciate him. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. He's saying the word, what God is saying is those elders or those pastors that go out of their way to serve you, to go to the hospitals, or go to the sick, or go to the elderly to visit. He's saying that they deserve double honor because they're doing what they're called to do. And we should support that. We should show them how much we appreciate that. Is it not? The pastors and the deacons are on the cutting edge of battle with Satan today. And they will face temptations. They will face spiritual conflicts unlike anything you can imagine. If you think you guys go through some hard times, I'm telling you, your pastor goes through a lot. The deacons and the pastors, especially the pastors, will go through a weekly conflict where Satan doesn't want them giving that message to you. Satan doesn't want them. He'll hit their health. He'll hit their mind. Satan knows that if he can topple or depress that pastor, what's going to happen to the rest of the church? And we've seen for a while when we didn't have a pastor, how it did hurt the church. It's a big domino effect. When the pastor is having a bad day, if he feels that he can call Sandy up, or he can call Chuck up, or if he can call me, if he can call somebody up, he's having one of those tough times. If he feels he can call me up, that's going to lift him up. If he feels that he's got a congregation that's backing him up, a pastor is going to do a lot more for this church. But we read earlier where most of the pastors face depression. It said 60%, and there was a whole list of them, but 60% of them are facing divorce because of all the pressure that they face each day. Because they feel like they have to do it all alone. And most churches, 10% of the churches will run the church. Out of that 10%, that pastor does most of it. And if we can show him some support and love, that pastor is going to do a lot more. Okay? We need to help shoulder the load that Darren is facing. One more chapter. Can we look at Exodus chapter 17, verse 12, please? Exodus chapter 17, verse 12. Exodus chapter 17, verse 12. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and he put it under him. He sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. What had happened is they had a battle. And God says, if you raise your hands, Moses, as long as your hands are raised, you're going to win. You listen to me and keep your hands up, you're going to win. I don't know about you, but if you try to hold your hands up for a long period of time, they get heavy, they hurt, they ache. And every time he would lower his hands, his people would lose the battle. Every time your pastor's hands go down, he faces struggles, he faces depression, he faces whatever the spirituals that Satan, the demons throw at him, that's going to hurt the church. But if we can hold his hands up and say, I'm there for you, I guarantee you this church will not only grow, but it's going to prosper. You agree with me? Sometimes it's hard because we come here and we wonder, okay, are they listening to what I'm saying? Are they listening to the message that God gives? You have to come here. Mike said it 1,000 times. When you come here, you have to expect that I'm going to hear a message from God today. That message that the pastor's giving is going to be from God. If you don't come here expecting that, then you're not going to, you won't learn nothing. Okay? If you see an opening in the church, and it happens a lot, there's a lot of openings in the church, pray about it. If you want to show that pastor you care, say, hey, you know what? I'm going to try. I'm going to fill that position. Like I said, 10%, it should be more than 10% that helps in the church, that helps run the church. If you see an opening in the church, pray about it. If God has shown you, hey, take that position, do it. Okay? Show God and Darren that you really care by being obedient. I want to read you one story that I come across on the internet and made me giggle, but it also kind of went along with my message. I was once told the story of a young pastor assigned to serve as a minister of a small rural congregation in a farming community. A part of his assignment was try to strengthen the church's severe financial problems. For years, a church had struggled to pay their bills and to pay a pastor. So finally, this young pastor came along. Upon his arrival, the pastor examined the church's income and he realized that it would be necessary for him to find another job, that he couldn't be a pastor and pay his bills because the church just couldn't afford it. There weren't many job opportunities in a small nearby town, but he was finally hired by a local grain elevator. You see, it was a big farming community, and most of the people in that church worked at that grain elevator. Now, these people that worked at that grain elevator, what they would do is they were all farmers, so they would bring their grain to this grain elevator, and the grain, they would weigh their grain, give them the price of the day, and that would be their income. A year had passed, and the church conducted its first annual business meeting. When the treasurer read the report of the finances, the congregation could hardly believe what they heard. The church had more than doubled their income. All their debts had been paid, and there was a surplus savings in the bank. They couldn't believe it. First, there was none. They couldn't even pay their bills, and now a year later, they got a surplus, and all their bills are paid. One church member stood up and asked, "Pastor, never in the church's financial history have we ever seen a miracle like this. Tell us what you did." The pastor replied, "Well, when I first came and I looked at the church's books, I noticed there was a small portion of the church members that were tithing. This was the problem with the finances. People weren't tithing. So after I got hired by the grain elevator, every time you all would come and sell your grain, I would just automatically deduct your tithe from the paycheck I gave you. You never missed that 10%, and that was all the church needed. And all the needs were met." This is something a lot of pastors won't speak about. One, they're afraid of losing members. But two, they don't want to step on toes. They feel if the bills will get paid, God will bring in the money. And it says in our Bible that we were supposed to tithe. 10% of our income, 10% of what we bring in is God's, is it not? It's God's. I didn't write down the Bible verse, and I should have, but in Malachi it says that we're supposed to give 10% of our income and watch and see that God will open up the windows of heaven and pour out so many blessings that you can't receive it. When my wife and I first tithed, this was many years ago, our tithe was $100 a week. I'll tell you what, $100 a week is a lot of sticking money, a lot. And we were thinking, there's no way we can tithe. We can't do this and pay our bills. Like everybody else, we were payday to payday. We started tithing, and I lie to you not, we had money coming in we didn't even expect. She got a check. She had a business meeting in Newark. She got a check for driving up there and back. I called one, I think, was it a credit card company, electric company? I think a credit card company. And I said, "I can't pay you this month. I don't have the money." And she said, "Hold on, Mr. Aaron." So she went and did her thing, and she came back online, and she says, and this was May. She says, "I don't know how to tell you this, but you're paid up until August." That proved God right. He said, "You tithe. You take 10%. Don't throw $2 in the offering plate. Don't throw $3 in the offering plate. You give your 10%. And you tithe and you watch that I will prosper you. Just watch and see." A lot of churches today go under, and it makes a pastor sad to know that the bills can't get paid because people aren't obeying God and giving that 10%. If you're one of those ones that aren't doing it today, I just try it. Try it. Try it for 1 month. Tithe. And see what God does. And then see what the church can do, because the church here used to do a lot when we had the money. Now we just don't have the money. And that's one of the things that you can show your pastor that you really care, is when you say, hey, I'm going to obey God and I'm going to tithe. Okay? Last but not least, show your pastor that you care by applying what he tells you. And tell him how much you care for what he does. A pastor doesn't hear that very often. The most he'll hear is when you leave on a Sunday, and you'll say, that's a nice message, good job, liked it, everything was great, good guy, you know, shake his hand and goodbye. But when he sees you apply that message that he gave, he's going to be way up here thinking, God gave me the message, I was his servant, gave it to you, and you did it. I guarantee you that obedience is going to fill this church up. It's going to pay our bills, and it's going to show your pastor you care. Thank you. I talked about it earlier. For those that aren't born again, I want you to think very, very hard, okay? Because you hear this all the time, and just you keep thinking it's an altar call, it's the same old thing. My Bible says that Jesus will say, when you stand before him, and there'll be a lot of people that will say, I cast out demons in your name. And I healed in your name. And I even prophesied, I preached in your name. He's going to say, depart from me, I don't know who you are. If you really do not know where you're going, and you should know without a doubt, the altar is up here today. The first thing to do is walk up here and just say, hey, you know, pray to God. Tell him. You know, you were given a message today on how you can support your pastor and how you can obey God, okay, and be that member of this body that God brought you here. Each of you are a piece of the puzzle. Without you, this church ain't complete. Okay? I don't know if you want to play a song or whatever, but the altar is up here. Please feel free to come up here. And that's the first stage, is showing the devil, you know what? I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to obey God. So, if you want one of us to pray with you, please get a hold of one of the deacons or come up to me, and I'd be happy to pray with you, okay?